Embrace the Word for Monday, April 13, 2026. Embracing Psalm 49. Psalm 49 provides instruction in wisdom, particularly the wisdom of trusting in the Lord. Psalm 49, as the superscription states, completes the run begun with Psalm 42 of the Psalms by the sons of Korah. To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Psalm 49 appropriately concludes the themes introduced by this collection of psalms. What begins with sorrowful psalms expressing sadness as a result of being away from the place of public worship, Psalms 42 to 44, turns to joyful psalms of confidence oriented around the ascension of the king and his restoration of the city of God, Psalms 45 through 48. Psalms by the sons of Korah will return in Book 3 of the Psalter. Psalm 49 shares at least one important theme with Psalm 48 and Psalm 47. Each psalm is addressed to all peoples everywhere, 47:1, 48:10, 49:1. Psalm 49 and Psalm 48 share an important theme by way of contrast, as Psalm 48 speaks of God guiding his people unto death, 48:14, while Psalm 49 speaks of death being the guide of unbelievers, 49:14. Psalm 49 opens with a call to embrace wisdom, 49:1-4. Then it provides the hope for countering death, 49:5-17, before concluding with a warning against approaching death in unbelief, 49:18-20. Psalm 49 begins with a universal summons. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. 49:1-2. The parallel imperatives, hear and give ear, are emphatic. The audience is universal. All peoples, all inhabitants of the world. No one is exempt from the truth of this urgent message. Class and wealth distinctions are irrelevant, for the low and the high, rich and poor, all need to listen to what this psalm declares. And what this psalm declares pertains to wisdom. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. 49:3-4. Using a cluster of terms that is found in Proverbs 1:1-7, the sons of Korah are intent to speak wisdom resulting from an understanding that flowed from the meditation of their heart. They will pay attention to proverbial statements so that they could unfold deep riddles. The opening point of Psalm 49 is that what will be declared for all people to benefit from is the wisdom of God derived from revelation from God. Through such truth sourced in the Lord, great mysteries in life and death will be made clear. Thus, everyone should pay careful attention to what will be disclosed. The main segment of Psalm 49 opens with a concern about fear. Why should I fear in times of trouble? 49:5. And then it closes with an exhortation to not fear. Do not be afraid. 49:16. In between these two words concerning fear, the sons of Korah develop the point of this psalm. First, they address the problem of fear. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? 49:5-6. The struggle with fear is stimulated by the actions of wicked wealthy. Of course, not all wealthy are wicked, but the ones spoken of here are, for they are identified as people who trust in their wealth, rather than trusting in the Lord and thus being righteous wealthy. These individuals boast in their wealthy status and not in the Lord. Such vertical wickedness before God overflows to horizontal wickedness toward people. Their wickedness is simply identified as cheating. But such a broad term might indicate such things as pressure, oppression, hounding, and harassment. These cheats surround the Lord's people as they use their wealth and influence to make trouble. But the sons of Korah have raised the question of whether or not it might not be necessary for such iniquitous people to be feared. Psalm 49 makes clear why the wicked wealthy, who are a great source of trouble for God's people, need not be feared. The sons of Korah provide an important answer. First, they address the importance of being ransomed. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. 49:7-9. The wealth of the wealthy has serious limitations. Therefore, there are serious problems that surfaced when one trusted in one's wealth. All the abundance of their riches are simply inadequate to pay God a ransom price for their soul. It is simply and utterly impossible for any man, no matter how much wealth he has, to pay the inexorbitant price that God requires to redeem a man's soul. An unpayable debt is owed. For what can a man give in return for his soul? See Mark 8:37. No wicked man, even the richest of them, will live forever. The pit is unavoidable. As Psalm 49 continues, additional clarity is provided as to what the sons of Korah are explicitly talking about as they reference the need for a ransom price. They somewhat bluntly assert that everyone dies. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. 49:10-12. From the wisest to the most foolish, and everyone somewhere in between, the verdict is the same. No man will retain their amassed wealth. It will be removed from them upon death. No man will remain in their ornately built home. They will be redirected to the grave. At this point, the key element of wisdom that this psalm expresses is to be soaked in. Everyone dies, including the extremely wealthy. No one, including the extremely wealthy, is able to buy off God's justice. Their debt is too great, and upon death, when their payment is due, they will be cast into debtor's prison, for they are unable to make their payment. God's people need not fear the wealthy, however. The wealthy should fear the Lord. Psalm 49 turns a corner as the wicked wealthy are portrayed as delusional. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Selah 49:13. The wicked wealthy are confident, but it is actually a foolish confidence. The end of their life is tragic, for all of their alleged success in life will count as nothing. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? See Mark 8:36. While they appear to have it all, they actually will lose it all. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? See Luke 12:20. But what is perhaps equally tragic is for those who remain, and in their delusion they speak of the deceased as one who truly was a champion in life. But in reality, the wicked have incurred God's judgment, and therefore they have been led to their death. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. 49:14. The roles will be reversed when the morning comes. Most likely a reference to the resurrection. Thus, in the age to come, the wicked wealthy who cheated God's people will be ruled over by the very ones whom they cheated. Psalm 49 then highlights the good news for the Lord's people. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. He will receive me. Selah. 49:15. While the wicked wealthy have no hope in death, God's people have great hope in death. The Lord himself will make the ransom payment for his people. God will redeem his people from the power of the grave. No man with any amount of money can redeem either himself or another man, but God can and does. Thus, fear fades. Do not be afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. 49:16. The wicked wealthy can continue in their sinful indulgences as well as their injustice, but their actions as well as the consequences of their actions will be rectified. Death will begin the sentence of justice. For when he dies, he will be carried. He will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counted himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generations of his fathers, who will never again see light. 49:17-19. While the wicked wealthy live, they assume they are blessed, but they are going away. Justice will prevail, and the wicked wealthy will never again see light. Tragically, the wicked wealthy lack the wisdom needed to grasp their fate. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. 49:20. As we reflect on Psalm 49, we should consider a statement from Jesus concerning the reason he took on flesh and became the God-man. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See Mark 10:45. A ransom is a price or payment made to release or redeem someone from captivity or a debt. Jesus came to die. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See Philippians 2:7-8. His death was a substitutionary sacrifice. Jesus' death was a payment that his people owed but could not pay. As Jesus' death rendered a payment for his people were freed through faith in Christ. Christ purchased his people's freedom from the slavery of sin and the slavery of eternal punishment. Since Jesus was fully human, he could represent us as our substitute. And since Jesus was fully God, he could pay the infinite debt of our sin. in Christ, our ransom has been paid, and we are free. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. See 1 Peter 1:18-19. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, April 13, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, April 15, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 50.